Mind just kept going back to this particular story, if you will, in the Bible. And I'm just going to go ahead and read a few scriptures and then we'll get right into it. And the same day when this even was come, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd bless this morning. Pray, God, that you'd encourage hearts this morning. I pray, God, that you'd give me your power as I speak, Lord. Just anoint my lips this morning as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Why are you so fearful? In verse number 40, that word fear means, and I looked up in the dictionary, that word fear means unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It seems like this week there's been some anxiety in people, and there's been some fear, if you will. And fear is an emotion, and I talk about fear here. Why are you so fearful? Fear is an emotion that will drive one from the will of God. It's one emotion, or is an emotion, that shakes our faith, and if you're not careful with this emotion of fear, it'll have a tendency to have you cause doubt in your life about what you're doing for God. Fear will cause you to make poor decisions. Fear will cause you to make poor choices in your life. I read a little statement from a preacher this week, just a little statement that he put on his Twitter, if you will, and he said, when you make a choice, you make your choices first, and your choices make you. Think about that a minute. You make your choice, first of all, when you make a decision, okay, it's up to you to make the choice, and then the choice that you make makes you. I thought about that a little bit. You know what? And here we are. Sometimes we as Christians, we can be driven by fear. I'm not talking about a hurricane, but because of all kinds of things that come our way. I'm talking about disappointments or heartaches and so forth. And we may get a little bit fearful because of we just don't see the end of the road totally. And we don't understand maybe why this battle or why this storm and why this. And we get a little bit shaken and our faith gets a little bit shaken. As a result, we get a little bit fearful. And then if you're not careful, it'll cause you to start doubting. It'll cause you to start doubting about what the will of God is for your life, and then you start making some poor choices. Start backing out, if you will. Well, is this really worth it? Is my Sunday school class really worth it? Is riding that bus really worth it? Is really raising my kids for the cause of Christ really worth it? Is going to church really worth it? Is reading my Bible really worth it? If you're not careful, you will let fear go ahead and be that emotion that drives you away from the will of God. Now here in our story, a very familiar story, but here the disciples, they were scared. You know, after preaching all day, Jesus' disciples, they've been busy, they were weary, they were tired. Jesus, you know, of all men, he could go ahead and sleep through a storm, and that's what he was doing. But they got onto the ship, and they were going to pass over to the other side, and the Bible says that a great storm, if you will, arose, and the disciples started getting scared. The disciples started getting a little bit afraid, if you will. The Bible said that Jesus asked them, why are you so fearful, when they finally went to him? Why is your faith shaken, so to speak? And so the storm arose and so forth. And I can just imagine these guys, man, you know what? Here they're being tossed back and forth, to and fro. And they were probably kind of wondering, okay, Peter, why don't you go wake up Jesus? No, John, why don't you go wake up Jesus? You know, I can imagine they were kind of going back and forth as to who's going to wake up Jesus at this. He's the master. I don't know if I really want to wake him up and so forth. But, you know, nonetheless, they went to go wake him up. And the Bible says that, of course, he got up, he rebuked the storm, peace, be still, and then there was a calm. And then he asked, why are you so fearful, disciples? You know what? Why was your faith shaken, disciples? Do you not know? Do you not understand who is on this ship with you? Now, I ask you, church, for just a moment, why are you fearful? Why are you shaken? Why is your faith maybe rattled to a point where you start doubting the things of God, and you start doubting maybe the will of God in your life? You know what? The truth of the matter is, you got saved, and you know who's with you every single moment of the day that you live? Jesus. He's with you. He's with you through the storm. He's with you through the calm times. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But you need to be careful of this attitude or this emotion, if you will, of fear. Yeah, if you're not careful, you'll start doubting the will of God. You'll start saying, is it really worth it? Is serving God really worth it? Is soul winning really worth the time? Is being ridiculed for the cause of Christ really worth it? Well, we serve faithful. I can imagine the questioning that these disciples had and so forth. I can well imagine that they said, man, you know what? We serve God for, man, look at what we did. We saw some great things happen. We saw Jesus heal some people. We saw miracles performed. Boy, God was using us. Now this storm, it's not fair. It's just not right. You know, these disciples did not care. You know, you had to be careful. You know, they had to be careful. You know, start doubting. This just isn't really worth it. You better be careful of fear. What are you so fearful about? Knowing that God is right there, you can call on Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months of the year, 365 days a year. He never takes a vacation. He's always on call. And you better be careful of this emotion of fear, because fear, if you allow it to go ahead and reign in you, it's going to drive you from the things of God. You know what? These disciples, I think the one reason why Jesus rebuked them is He's trying to get them to understand, hey, listen, you know what, buddies, listen, you know what? It is worth serving me. It is worth living for God. It is worth everything. And I think He was trying to teach them a lesson that, you know what, all through your Christian life, you will have some battles. You will have some trials. And you just need to go ahead and you need to count on me to go ahead and help you get through them storms of your life. Better be careful of fear. If you're not careful with fear, you'll start wondering if the Bible is really true, and it is. You start wondering if authority in your life is really right, if a pastoral authority in your mama and daddy and so forth. If you're not careful, if you let fear reign in your body and reign in you, if you will, you'll start questioning the authority that God has given you. You start questioning the preacher. You start questioning your mom and dad. You start rebelling, if you will, against the things of God. Once people start seeing fear in you, people will go ahead and start saying, well, I told you the church doesn't work. I told you walking with God. You know, I told you when you got into that, you know, it's just not going to work. Hey, what I'm saying this morning, it always pays off to stay faithful, stay walking with God, stay true to Him. Stay focused upon Him. Keep running the race that that God has given you to run. Don't turn back. Just decide that I'm in this thing of serving God. I'm in this thing of serving in my ministry. I'm in this thing. There's no turning back. And I'm not going to go ahead and let fear. I'm not going to go ahead and let doubt. I'm not going to go ahead and let the old devil whisper in my ear and say, hey, it's not worth it. Because it is. Moms and dads, you know what? You got a ministry right there in your home. Your kids. Oh yeah, you got your ministry here, and everybody ought to be involved in some sort of ministry. I believe that in the local church and so forth, as many vast different things we can do, whether it be cleaning, serving out in the outreach ministry, or being in your place and tithing, all that's very, very important. But let me go ahead and say something to you moms and dads for a second. You've got a very important ministry right there in your home. You've got your children to raise for the cause of Christ. God has given you them for just a little while, and you need to do everything you can to get this book out. They ought to know that you know the book. They ought to know that you live by the book. They ought to know that you don't question the man of God and question the church. They ought to know that you're stable, and they ought to know that you love the Lord, and you ought to be teaching them the things of God. Because let me tell you something, if you're not careful, eventually they're going to go ahead and see the light. And if you're not careful, about 5th, 6th, 7th grade, they're going to start doubting you. They're going to start questioning you. They're going to start maybe rebelling against you. And moms and dads, you better understand the responsibility that you have of them children that God has given you, your children in your home. You've got a responsibility to teach them. Teach them the importance of the Word of God. Teach them the importance of memorizing the Word of God. Teach them the Bible. Get them into Sunday school class. Get them to church. Man, make God number one. Hey, you know what? Fear will go ahead, cause you to doubt. Fear will go ahead and cause you to start questioning the authority. Is this really worth it? Is serving God really worth it? I really kind of wonder, what was the disciples' mind? What was going through their mind? What was really going, you know what? I can imagine to some degree we're serving God and this is happening. We're out here. We're going to die out here. May I just remind you, disciples, you know, you're not going to, because Jesus is on the boat. Jesus is on the boat. The very one that you need to trust is in the hinder part of the boat. He's on the boat. So why? And then just a couple things. Why this storm? Why do you have storms? Why do you have your disappointments? Why do you have the trials? Why do you have the heartaches? Why maybe the job loss? Why did I lose my loved one? Why this? Why this storm? Of course, sin. But why? Maybe for you to be strengthened spiritually. That may be why. It may be for you to be strengthened spiritually. It may be that you, Christian, you've gotten a little complacent in the things of God. It might be that, you know, it's just same old, and as a result of that, you better be careful of that same old attitude, because as a result, you're going to just kind of start pushing your Bible reading out of the way. Your prayer life's not going to be what it ought to be. You know, you're just going to get a little nonchalant about the preaching and all these responsibilities that God has given you as a Christian. You better be careful. But you know what? Why the storm? It might be to go ahead and strengthen you spiritually. It might be so that you'll grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It might be that you need to start looking at some things, some spiritual things again. Boy, you were excited at one time when you got saved, and maybe for many years after you were hungry. You want to serve God. You're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. You wanted to be what God wanted you to be. But maybe somewhere along the way, you know, you just got tired of the battles and got tired of the storms, and you maybe got this it's not fair type of attitude. But it might be that God might have sent a storm along your way to go ahead and strengthen you spiritually and to go ahead and get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes off onto him. Spiritually, maybe you're hungry. It might have been that you've not feasted off the unsearchable riches of Christ for a long time, and it might be that God is using a battle or a trial to drive you back to him, to get you to back where you should be. Why this storm? Why do we have this storm? You know, it might be that he's trying to cut some things away in your life that ought not be there. You know, John 15 talks about the growth of a Christian, more fruit, and much fruit. You know, we ought to be bearing fruit. We ought to be growing. We ought to be a producer, if you will. And God may be cutting away some things so that he can give you a greater harvest, if you will, so that you could be a fruit-producing Christian. He may be cutting some things away because he sees some things there that ought not be there. Maybe some music. Maybe some language, maybe some rebellion. I don't know what it is, but it might be that God, why the storm? Strengthen you spiritually. And maybe he's trying to cut away. He's got his shears out to cut away some things that ought not be there because you're becoming a dead Christian. Why this storm? Maybe to go ahead and help you be aware that you can't live your Christian life on your own. You can't do it. If you as a Christian are trying to go ahead and serve God and try to live this life without the power of the Holy Spirit working within you, you're going to tire all the time. You know, it might be that maybe this storm is trying to drive you, and I kind of alluded to it just a moment ago, to drive you to the place that you once were in Christ. You didn't lose your salvation. Don't misunderstand me. You can't lose your salvation. Thank God for being saved by the grace of Almighty God. It's a gift. You can't lose your salvation. But you know what? It might be because somewhere along the way, you've backslid. You've gotten cold. You've gotten complacent, as I mentioned. And it might be that God is just giving you some things because he's trying to get you back to where you are fellowshipping with him again. Getting you back, so to speak, in the fold, so to speak. You know, maybe you've just backslid. You're just very cold towards everything God. You say, well, that can't happen. Yeah, it can happen to good Christian people, I might add. People that, man, were just excited for God, but they got cold somewhere along the way. Maybe they picked up things, something in their life that they should have never picked up. And now, as a result, they're in a quagmire. They're kind of in a mess. Why? To maybe help you be aware that you can't live your life alone. Let me just give you a couple thoughts about the storm. Realize that the storm is either going to make you or break you. It's either going to make you a better Christian or a bitter Christian. That's what it's going to do. It's either going to make you better. It's either going to, you're going to learn some lessons from it. You're not going to sit there and, well, I'm in this storm, shake my fist at God, and this isn't right, and so forth, and, you know, I'm just, you know. It's either going to make you better, you're going to learn some lessons in life from it, or it's going to make you bitter. That just isn't fair. And you better be careful. You know what? I find that once someone says them three words, it's not fair, at that moment, there's a seed of bitterness that starts taking root. It's not fair. It's not fair. You better be careful. And that bitterness, you know what? The Bible teaches in Hebrews, you know, that it'll grow and it's not going to just affect you, but many will be defiled as a result of it. Better be careful. You know what? You ought to allow your storms to make you a better Christian instead of a bitter Christian. Why the storm? Realize, or thoughts of the storm, realize the storms are temporal. They're not going to last forever. You know what? Tomorrow, the winds won't be blowing, most likely, not like it is right now, according to the forecast, if you will. The crews will be out cleaning up. The sun's going to shine brighter and brightly and so forth. It'll be a beautiful day, and it won't be, hopefully it won't be so soupy out there. Man, it's sticky, amen? I tell you what, hot, miserable. But I understand the storm's temporal. You know, the storm that you're in, you know, I can imagine when Noah was on the ark, 40 days, 40 nights was the rainstorm, and then he was on much longer than that. Think about it just for a minute. I can imagine, you know, Noah and his family, they're just like you and I. They have the same emotions as you and I. I can imagine they were getting maybe somewhat seasick or tired of floating around and not knowing where they were going. But guess what? The storm eventually ended for them. You know what? You need to understand that the storm won't last forever. Guess what? You're saved. You know why I know it won't last forever? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will also come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Guess what? That's a promise to we Christians. You know, the storm's not going to last forever. You know, and maybe it might be rough seas until the very day that Jesus comes or you go to your grave. But you know what, Christian? It's not going to last forever. One of these days, you're going to be running up and down the streets of gold. One of these days, you're going to see that your mansion that he has so prepared. You're going to see the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. You're going to see your loved ones. And guess what? You're going to see Jesus. Amen. It won't last forever. It's only temporal. Remember that you don't have to go through it alone. I alluded to that a moment ago, but you won't have to go through it alone. Yea, Psalms 23, verse 3. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yeah, he's with you. You don't have to go through it all by yourself. He's with you. Just remember that. The storm may be just what God is allowing to have you recognize his greatness. And I talked a little bit about that. It might be that he's just trying to get you to get your eyes upon him again. The calm, remember, in the storm, it's always a calm before the storm. Boy, it was very peaceful yesterday. You know, it was almost eerie in a way. It was just very peaceful. Storm blows in, you know, it'll go out, and there'll be a calm. The disciples went down and woke up Jesus at the hinder part of the ship. He gets up. Peace! Be still. It was a great calm. He may not right away, you know, might be teaching us patience. He may not right away get up and just say, peace, be still. But you can know that there will be a calm at the end of your storm. You can know that. And learn from your storm. Learn from it. Don't, you know, I say it time and again, but don't squander your battles. Don't squander them. Learn from it. There's something, whether you got into it because of your foolish decisions or not, you're there. Now say, God, what can I learn from it? What can I learn from it? not going to get angry. It's my foolish decisions maybe that got me there, or it's there because you're teaching me something. So regardless, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn? God, teach me something in this storm. Teach me something in this disappointment. Teach me something in this loss of my loved one. Teach me something in this illness. Teach me something. I lost my job. Teach me something, Lord. Show me what, maybe a financial problem in your life. Teach me from it, Lord. Help me. Teach me something from it. Maybe some here this morning, you're about ready just to throw in the towel. I serve God. I serve God. I do this, man. I serve God. That might be the problem because you're looking on you. I serve God. I do this. I do this. I do this. You know what? It might be that God's trying to get you to get that eye out of there, and I say, I'm serving the Lord because he wants me to. You know, the problem may be that you got some pride. You know, and you feel like, you know, look at what I do. I serve in church, and I do this, and I do this, and I. And it might be that God is saying, you know what, I'm going to get that eye out of you and say, you know what, him. You know, storms will come. Instead of quitting, why don't you just go ahead and say, I'm going to re-enlist. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to keep pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm just going to keep on running. You know what? Storms are going to come. My ship is being tossed to and fro. But I'm just going to go ahead and stick with it. I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's with me all along anyways. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to let my fear cause me to doubt and start questioning the will of God, start questioning the things of God, start questioning the authority of God. I'm just going to go ahead and trust him with all my heart and lean not to mine own understanding. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you and we thank you for today, God. And Lord, I just wanted to speak from the heart to my people this morning. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. I pray, dear God, maybe we just press a little reset button. These people that I see around me, they're the faithful crew. They're here. And we have a lot of great people, but they just decided, man, they're just gonna get up and go to church as normal. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. And I pray as a result of us being here today, maybe our spirit would be quickened this morning a little bit. That maybe we could reset that button and say, we're just gonna keep on pressing on. We're gonna keep on doing right. Regardless of the storm, regardless of the winds and the disappointments and the trials, we're just gonna keep on keeping on. Pray that we wouldn't let fear rule the day. That we would let faith rule the day. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart this morning, and I told you we'd be out early, we are out early, and we're out at good time. But if God spoke to your heart this morning, the piano's going to play, the music's going to play just for a few minutes. Won't you go ahead and move if God spoke to your heart? Love you. We thank you for today, God. We thank you for church. Lord, what a blessing it was to be able to gather together for just a few minutes today, Lord. And more than anything, I want you to be pleased with what was done today. And I pray you'd give us safety as a result today. Give us safety as we travel home. I pray, God, you keep everybody safe out on the roads today, wherever they may be and whatever is going on out there, the crews working, different things. I pray you'd give safety. Now, Lord, I ask you with these requests, several of them here. I think of Mike McNeil, Lord, be with his health, Father, and be with Wendy's mom who's going in for surgery and her brother who's having some health issues. I pray, God, that you'd be with them situations, give her brother health. And give the doctors wisdom as they operate on her mom, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd be with Trina here, Lord. I pray that you'd be with her situation, Father. And Lord, I ask you to be with our college students. I pray you give them safety traveling out. Give them a great year, Lord. Help them stay focused upon your will, Father. And I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I ask you to be with Karen's daughter's decision, Lord. You know the need. I pray you'd give her wisdom there. And Lord, be with Deb Capper and Carol Santiago for their health, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them this morning and today, Father. And I pray that you'd be with Best Brother for wisdom and finances. And I pray, God, that you'd meet the needs. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd, again, give us safety as we leave. Bring us back safely for Wednesday night. Lord, be with Brother Blaine as he preaches Wednesday night. Just have your hand upon this place. Pray, God, that you continue to bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.